Here we go. Oh, welcome back to That Movie Podcast, Film Talk Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Quincy.
So, this week...
In theaters now.
We saw quite a few.
Number one movie at the theaters right now was Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. What'd you think?
You know, I actually enjoyed that. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would from the... Well, from the previews, I was like, oh, okay, this movie's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. Then I started having people tell me, it's like, that's not all that. So I'm like, oh. So I kind of set my sights a little bit lower. But all in all, I do have to say, it's like, I did enjoy it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciated the fact that, what was it, Hansel's a diabetic? I thought that was a good touch.
That's so weird. So weird, especially... Because I mean, to me, it seemed those, almost like, heavy-handed.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Oh, look, here's their political message about when he was young, he ate too much sugar in this binge when he was at the witch's house, so now he has diabetes, and every day at a certain time he has to take it or he'll die.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I appreciated I thought that part of it was really dumb. Like, at the same time, you do see, you know, their little plot device coming, so you're just kind of going, oh, all right, yeah, I know where this is going. But
I don't know, I thought it was just a very heavy-handed political message, like, shame on you for eating too much sugar, kids! You better be careful! You're gonna be a slave to the needle the rest of your life, or you'll die. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought that some of the things I thought were kind of cool, you know? Mm-hmm. I thought the witches looked cool.
Yeah.
I was glad to see kind of a new take on the old kind of look of the witches, so... Yeah. I like that. I like the way that it kind of... It reminded me of Sleepy Hollow and the way that it kind of embraced its R-ness by being kind of over-the-top gory.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a lot of the humor fell really flat. I thought almost all the character development was pretty heavy-handed. I thought the script was non-existent. So
yeah.
I think if I was like 10... I would have liked a lot more.
If I was 10, I'd be eating this thing with a spoon, but yeah, it's...
But I don't know, my son, my 13-year-old son, really didn't walk out of it all that whoopity-doo either.
And,
I mean, it was okay. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I don't think I would recommend it.
I would say if you were thinking about seeing it, go ahead. If not, it's really not going to change your religion, so...
I'd say if you want to see it on the big screen, don't waste the money for 3D, and don't... go past matinee prices.
Yeah.
So definitely don't go, like, at the prime time price. Don't pay that.
Go see the 3D movie at 7 o'clock.
If you get the matinee or the first showing early Sunday morning, okay.
All right. Well, let's see. I actually slipped out and saw Broken City with Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe. Man, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really did. It's a sharp, just... smart little film. It really just kind of...
It's about a corrupt mayor, and basically Mark Wahlberg is a detective that the mayor kind of gets him to... I mean, it's one of those movies that it felt like the preview showed me the entire movie.
It does. It feels like that, but
there's more to the movie?
There is more to it. You know, it's just, it's not as cliche-ridden... Thank you.
Yay for that happening for once.
For once, the preview
didn't ruin it.
Yeah, it's not as cliche-ridden as the preview makes it out to be. But
well, not so much cliche, but, I mean, the preview just feels like it tells you most of the story. I mean,
yeah,
like, the mayor hires him to take photos, and then, you know, basically her lover ends up dead, and he's getting a guilty conscience and knows it's the mayor, or the mayor had something to do with it, mm-hmm. but the mayor has something... that he's holding over Mark Wahlberg's head, but Mark Wahlberg don't play like that. So he's going to go back heavy at the mayor. And I mean, there's more to it than that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's the new one by Alan Hughes. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the first one he's done without his brother, his twin brother.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd recommend it?
I would.
All right. Next up is number 2 at the box office and number 1 at the box office last weekend. Mama. Mama.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Okay. what did I think? Wow. All right. For the most part, I enjoyed it. I thought that the characters were just kind of cardboard. I thought that the
Jessica Chastain,
even from the previews, I could tell that she was just sort of like in the wrong movie. It's just her character, I didn't really feel fit. And
why?
It's like she's trying to portray this person who's, you know, in this rock band and, you know, is dating this artist. But now this artist has his two nieces. But I never really got that she was willing to stick around and...
But that was kind of her character arc, is that she came around to being willing to do that. And the girls kind of warmed up to her, especially the youngest one, but...
Eventually.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what we're doing is we're talking about a spooky movie as if it's a family drama based on character arcs and characters that were, you know, believable in their transition from the beginning of the movie till the end.
Yeah.
So to me, that kind of tells me something about the movie. I mean, I thought it was a notch above a lot of ghost stories that I've seen. It had a lot of really creepy elements.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the story was really original. I thoroughly enjoyed the story it told. Just the whole thing behind how the girls ended up out in the cabin was just kind of jacked up from the get-go. And then, I mean, what happens in the cabin was jacked up. And then how the girls are found 5.5 years later and how they're feral and how they're acting. I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought a lot of it, I really dug the story. I thought it was a neat story to me. Yeah, I mean... Actually, Jessica Chastain's character didn't bother me so much. It was more the boyfriend, the uncle of these girls, who, you know, is there for him and then falls down the stairs, then tells her he's leaving the hospital one day, then he leaves the hospital and drives out to the cabin. I mean,
I know.
He just kind of, people kind of do things to serve the fact that it's a ghost story. So at times I had to be like, oh, yeah, I'm watching a ghost story.
Yeah.
And remind myself of that and be like, adjustments.
Especially when it was just like the three of them, and it's like the uncle just kind of got written out of the script for a while. And I'm just like, does anybody bother to go and visit this guy in the hospital?
They did, but it didn't show it because that didn't propel the ghost story aspect of it. And the ghost story was what they were telling. Because quite frankly, I didn't want a 2-hour and 15-minute movie that explored all these other strands of... But... Yeah, I mean, the uncle kind of disappears, but ultimately it's not about that. It's an examination of motherhood and what it means to be a mother, and do you actually have to have blood ties to be a mother, and, you know, so that's kind of the themes that it works with, and that's ultimately what the movie's about, and even, like, how it kind of ends, because I would say, I mean, my critique of it, obviously I enjoyed it a lot more than you did. I do think the ending, it kind of falters.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately because it goes in a direction that me as an American movie watcher isn't akin to seeing. And I'm not sure if it was 100% successful. Yeah, you know, all in all, it had a lot of different things that creeped me out. I mean, the way that it was shot, it just reminded me of like old time ghost storytelling, you know, with the camera there in the hall and like the girl playing tug of war with the thing up in the corner of the room.
And then all of a sudden the other one just walk out of the other corner.
Yeah, I mean, and it had a lot of things like that that I thought were just neat. You know, did it have things that I'd already seen before? Sure.
Yeah,
the whole moldy thing that the ghost comes from. Been there, done that since, what, 97?
Something,
with Ringu.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the ghost story is a tragedy, and to me, I think that's a staple of J-horror. I thought a lot of it was still effective. I thought she looked really cool. I love the way that they never really showed her fully until the end.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when you kind of find out her story, it explains a lot, but then, spoiler alert, I've never seen a movie kind of deal with a mentally retarded ghost.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really interesting angle it went with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there were things I definitely appreciated it, and... don't get me wrong, I didn't hate the movie, but I just thought that it really didn't pay off on a lot of their build-ups and, you know, like the whole thing about exploring the aspect of, you know, motherhood and, you know, does there need to be a blood bond or all that. It's like, I was kind of getting into that, and especially it's like towards the end where I'm kind of going, okay, it's like, this is how they're going to kind of fight this off after I'm just kind of going, well, okay, they've, you know, it's like, it's not so much about, you know, closing the porthole or anything like that. All right, so we can't exorcise the demon, but I'm like, we can get the demon to go away if we can prove, you know, if we can prove that we're a worthy mother. But I'm just going, that's not working either. I'm like, all right.
I mean, that is...
It's like, where are we going with this? And it just kind of went...
the way that it ended with the daughter choosing to do what she did, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely understand someone that has a problem with an ending. I don't think it was successful, but I don't... I could see what they were trying to do. I thought that they... I think that they were trying to follow it through to its natural conclusion. I think that's why they chose to keep the youngest one pretty much feral.
See, that was the problem that I kept having. I'm like, when do we start house training this child? Because it's like, they'd show scenes where everybody's sitting around the dinner table, and she's off in the corner with the dog eating a bowl of cherries, and I'm just going, at what point do you say, here, honey, sit at the table, you're a human. Here, have a plate. This is a fork. You can still eat your cherries, because that's what you were raised on, but it's like, have a fork.
Because ultimately, there wasn't this huge amount of time span between when, you know, Mama started doing things.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a whole lot of time between... I mean, I could kind of see how that wasn't the front and center. I mean, yes, that was definitely something I'm sure that they were working towards, and they probably should have had the characters have a conversation about that. And who knows, maybe it's a deleted scene.
Probably.
That they decided wasn't, you know, it kind of hindered the story, because ultimately that's not what it was about.
Yeah.
Especially with the ending the way it is.
Yeah.
So... you know, who knows? Yes, should there have been a conversation? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but was this ultimately a drama about, you know, these parents, and are they responsible, and how are they handling raising these feral kids? No. That'd be a very interesting drama in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, without this whole ghost story aspect,
uh-huh.
I thought that the story it was telling was extremely interesting just like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that ultimately wasn't what this story was about. It was ultimately about the story. You know, the ghost story, the same way that they, like, the shrink becomes a detective halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And never, like, comes clean with the mother figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just kind of like, well, what? He's, like, all elusive and, you know, keeping everyone in the dark. And I don't know.
Especially after he actually saw Mama.
Yeah.
He just gets up, leaves, and we're going, you can't even say, don't go in that room.
Yeah, well, I mean,
by the way, I conjured up a specter. Have fun, gotta go.
I thought
nothing. He just gets
but
up,
I thought that reaction was great notes. Though, because that's ultimately what a lot of people would do.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, okay, I gotta go. You know, just can't just be like, I'm leaving. I gotta get out of there. So yeah, say if you like ghost stories, go see it.
Yeah,
you could do worse. Could it have been better? Sure,
oh, sure. Yeah,
you
it's not as bad as the preview makes it out to be, but.
Yeah,
ultimately, it's
I thought
not
it
like
had a great preview. So if you thought the preview looked good and you know it looked like an interesting story, go see it.
Personally, I thought the preview looked like every other Guillermo del Toro film, where it was just like, okay, we're going to show you a lot of stuff, but this movie's ultimately not going to make any damn sense until you go see it, and you're like, oh, I get it now. So
yeah,
it's like, fine. I saw it, and I'm just kind of like.
I'd rather have that than a movie that makes me feel like I've seen every single thing anyway. So.
True.
Yep, so... All right, next at the theaters.
Next up, we've got Arnold Schwarzenegger's big return to fare with The Last Stand. That happened. you know, I was not going into it thinking it was going to be great, but I had heard some buzz on it. I thought, okay, this could be cool. The director has put out some decent films.
Yeah, Ji-Woo Kim.
Unfortunately, he kind
of... He's made a lot of great South Korea films.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, he falls in that curse of Asian directors that come to America, and they're like, yeah, you made these really cool films over in Asia, but our audience is not Asian. They're dumb Americans. And so, yeah, we've got this script that was written by this brain-dead cliche artist. So just follow the script, and we'll edit it down to 90 minutes, and it'll all
So it was what the previews made it look to be.
Pretty much. The one thing that I am glad as hell that they cut from the movie that I kept seeing in the preview. In fact, this almost kept me from seeing. It was almost like the transporter moment. But there was a scene in the previews where you see the car, like, sliding across the bridge on its axles like a skateboard. And I'm just going, oh, this, no, that is just beyond ludicrous. And kind of like the scene in the transporter preview where, you know, Jason Statham deflects the RPG with the serving tray. I'm just going, oh, no. But then the kid at the box office luckily said, yeah, you know that scene that's in the preview? It's not in the movie. I'm like, oh, well, shit, give me one. So, But, yeah, so I saw this, and I'm just waiting. But, oh, I mean, seriously, it's this. The only thing that kept this movie from going straight to home video is the cast. I mean, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger, you've got Forrest Whitaker. You know, apparently their spin artists, you know, were able to put just enough emphasis on it. They're like, well, you know, it's like there's nothing else coming out in January. Let's just put it out.
Well, I know, I saw the preview and I thought it looked like crap. Yeah. But then I saw who was directing it, and, you know, it was the guy that did A Tale of Two Sisters and I Saw the Devil.
Hell yeah.
And both of those are great, great movies. So that's when I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to see it.
Yeah.
But then I remembered Hard Target. And I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't be so quick to see it, because that's how you felt about Hard Target. And then you saw Hard Target.
I enjoyed Hard Target. I thought Hard Target was John Woo's best American film.
No.
But, you know, that's where we differ, so.
Yeah, there it is. Not the only,
I thought that every
not
movie,
the only time we've differed, but.
I thought pretty much every film that he made in America after that sucked, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he ever made a good one, really, but. Yeah, I would not include Hard Target just because that pile smelt less than the other pile. So, yeah, go see I Saw the Devil.
Hell yeah.
The Tale of Two Sisters.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies, you know, it's like when it comes out on home video, if you're curious about it, check it out. I mean, like I said, it's worth the, you know, made for cable or straight to home video. But, yeah, you're sitting there watching this thing theatrically, you're just going... okay, so basically this drug lord escapes federal custody, gets in the souped-up Corvette, and heads for the border. And they keep blasting through all these, you know, roadblocks and everything else, till ultimately it's like, you know, Schwarzenegger's the sheriff of this town that he has to get through before he can get to the border.
The last stand.
Yeah, the last stand. And with, like, every roadblock, you're sitting there, and it's like they keep coming up with all these, you know, ways of getting through the roadblocks, and I'm just going, am I the only one who's thought to lay down spike strips? Because if we'd have had spike strips, this movie would have been over 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, apparently that wasn't in their budget, you know? They're like, well, let's see, we can get, like, 80 more boxes of ammunition or spike strips. All right, 80 more boxes.
Well, I mean, this movie is a huge bomb. No one's going to see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry that you had to go see it, buddy.
You know, like, I was curious. I would have seen it regardless, but it's just one of those things that it's like, yeah, if I can warn people to just go, you know, just wait for home video.
Now I'll probably, I'll rent
it. Or the dollar theaters.
Redbox,
you know?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Last movie.
It's definitely worth a dollar. Yeah, last movie. We're up to Parker.
Jason Statham. J-Lo.
Yep.
It's by, what's the director's name? Taylor Hackford. Yeah, Hack is an appropriate name, I would say. Yeah, looking at the guys,
all right, well,
he really hasn't done much of anything anyway since, like, Officer and a Gentleman in 81. So, yeah.
Wouldn't he be the same guy that did...
Ray, yep.
Oh, yeah, he did do Ray. I kind of enjoyed that. But, obviously, I'm thinking I enjoyed this movie a hell of a lot more than you did.
Really? So
I'm seeing Mama here in reverse.
So have you not seen any other action movie that's ever come out? Oh, Oh my God.
See, that's the problem I have, which is why I was able to appreciate Parker. It just, I thought it was kind of smart. I enjoyed the characters.
To me, you know? It was like, oh, it's like a hyper-violent Jack Reacher without the brains.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, why was J-Lo in that movie again? Why exactly? I mean, when she's like, all of a sudden shows up,
mm-hmm.
and she's talking about this stuff and then goes and... I mean, number one, it's so late in the film, I'm like, wait, really? Am I really supposed to care about this girl? And then, like, how she's, like, representing herself. What is with her having to play like this? Oh, I'm so desperate with my life. It's been so horrible because I've had to live with my mom my whole life. And look at my job. It's so miserable and I'm so horrible. I have to get this last big thing so I can get out. I mean, every character she plays is like this. It has, like, that little arc about how... And I just didn't get it. Her and her mom seemed like kind of quirky. Her mom was quirky, haha, always mm-hmm. watching soap operas. I didn't get that she was miserable and that it was like this whole... I didn't get the whole romance thing. Like, when they kissed, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He's, like, supposed to be so super in love with this girl that... That's the one good thing I would say. Mm-hmm. That was sharp. The fact that, it, for the first time in movie history, the wife actually knew what the... husband was,
yeah.
was fully in on, like, the preparations, was smart on how to get go. I mean, she was intelligent and was a part of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to have the whole bull crap. Oh, I thought you were a businessman. Yeah. I thought you sold insurance. And that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I still didn't get it. Because the things that, like, they did, it was like, wait, what? Okay, so why is he kissing J-Lo now when... Why doesn't he, like, just go home to her? I mean, she's obviously close enough to where she run over and sew up shit if she needs to.
Yeah.
And then, all right, I'll see you later. Give me a kiss. I love you. Oh, I love you, too.
Basically, he needed her. He needed J-Lo. So it's like he just kind of...
He needed J-Lo for what?
Because she was the real estate agent who was leading him around all these different houses because he was looking for the house where these guys were.
Okay. That was ticked off his to-do list. He really didn't seem like a character that was real fond on bringing people in on the plan. I mean, didn't you find that he, being the hard-ass dude that he was, that wouldn't join any team without thorough research, just very quickly was like, hey, J-Lo, I'm going to just bring you into my circle of trust. Even though you tried to, like, blackmail me. I've seen Jason Statham do worse,
mm-hmm.
but I've definitely seen him do better. Baby, we got special feature time. Yeah, we change it up every time now.
Yeah, all right. Well, there's that thing coming up in February. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Oscars.
Yeah, so we figured this is going to be our Oscar episode.
Yeah.
First annual, possible last annual. Who knows?
We'll just blow our wad before everybody else does. So.
Bam.
Every man dies. Not every man really lives.
Best Picture!
Best Picture, yeah, all right.
The nominations are...
We got Amour.
Argo.
Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Django Unchained. The D is silent.
Les Miserables.
Life of Pi.
Lincoln.
Silver Linings Playbook.
And Zero Dark Thirty.
Who is gonna win?
I don't know, but it's not for lack of competition. My God, there's a lot of films in this category. All right, well, I have not seen Amour, because, well, it just hadn't come to my town yet.
Yeah, that and Les Mis are the only... Oh, and Lincoln... Yeah. I have not seen those three, so that's the disclaimer off the bat.
Okay.
So is Amour the only one you have not seen?
That and Beasts of the Southern Wild.
You really ought to see that.
I meant to. I really did. I just, there's only 24 hours in a day.
Well, so. You should have found another hour and a half somewhere. I made a 25 and a half hour a day or something.
Believe me, I'm working on it.
I'd be real curious to see what you thought, though.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about it.
But after this episode, no one's going to care, so exactly. Sorry.
So, yeah. Oh, well, I'll have to go see it by myself, for myself.
So who do you think is
going
to win?
Who do I think is going to win?
Yep. Have you heard? Do you follow any of the buzz, any of the pundits?
I'm so unconcerned about the Oscars.
Do you follow the Oscars at all? Is this anything not on that purpose. Even interests you? So you're not interested in this episode at all.
Well,
this is painful. I'm just forcing Alex to do this.
I think Argo's got a shot at it just because it did win, like, what was it, the Directors Guild Award?
Yeah,
or something
it's
like
definitely
that.
The one that's right on the wave.
So it's, yeah.
It's been winning a lot.
You know,
Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings
has
Playbook
got a lot of buzz going. It's definitely
that and Zero Dark Thirty, I think, are.
You know, I think Zero Dark Thirty, I think the buzz is kind of done.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it was kind of a, I don't think it's really catching on with the people.
No.
Because it's just not that good.
No.
Unlike Silver Linings Playbook, I mean, that thing is really kicking up every week. It's like higher and higher at the box office.
I know.
Yeah, and you know what?
It took people forever and a day to see the damn thing, but yeah, they're finally coming around.
Well, so. It's only within the last 2 weeks that it's been a full-on wide release.
Yeah.
I kind of think that Lincoln or Argo might win, who I think should win. Hands down, I think, out of those, I think Silver Linings Playbook or Beasts of Southern Wild.
Okay.
With Silver Linings, I'm leaning a bit more, just because it's more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Whereas Beasts of Southern Wild is probably a, it's definitely a more original movie.
Okay.
It's just, it's not quite as entertaining, so
hmm.
I can't say I had the great time watching Beasts of Southern Wild, so,
yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
You're doing great.
You're gonna be a star.
Best actor!
Okay, well, first off, we've got Bradley Cooper for the Silver Linings Playbook.
Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln.
Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables.
Joaquin Phoenix for The Master.
And Denzel Washington for Flight. Gotta admit, I'm kind of surprised to see Denzel Washington for Flight, and yet that seems to be the only thing that was nominated from Flight. But
what's really about the only thing that's remarkable about that movie, well, in my opinion.
True.
And he did a good job.
Oh, I'm not saying he didn't, but yeah, just usually it seems like,
but
when they...
it's Denzel Washington. He doesn't do a bad job.
Exactly.
So, and yeah, I gotta say, his performance didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
I didn't really even see anything that was all that different, you know,
true,
than other performances he's done.
Yeah.
So I would definitely... a lot of people think that John Hawke was
robbed. Oh, for The Sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, I watched The Sessions recently, and he definitely did a good job. He definitely, I would say, probably did a better job than Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably deserved to be on there instead.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta say, out of that list, now, once again, let's give the fair play. I have not seen The Master.
No, I haven't either.
Les Mis, I have not seen, although I really like Hugh Jackman, so...
I like Hugh Jackman, but... you know, him and Les Miserables, I'm just kind of going, it's like Denzel Washington in Flight. I'm like, well, yeah, it's like you're Hugh Jackman. You turned in a Hugh Jackman performance. Ooh, you sang. That's like your big thing. But it's like, okay, you've been on Broadway for the past year. So, you know, it's like, okay, great. We know you can sing. Now you're just doing it on film. Okay.
I think hands down, Daniel Day-Lewis is going to win.
Quite possibly, because, I mean, I did appreciate Bradley Cooper. I thought he did a great job. But, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis, I mean, that guy just knocked it out of the fucking park.
You know what I'd have to say, though? I'd have to say I think Bradley Cooper probably deserves to win. I'd have to say his performance blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
And Silver Linings Playbook, he was the one person in that movie that I, like, while I was watching the movie, was just like, I cannot believe that that's Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how well he's doing at playing this guy without he becoming a stereotype.
Because
he walked that line of being the hothead.
Yeah.
Because he played bipolar without being bipolar.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. I mean,
no, it does.
He didn't act it.
Mm-hmm.
He played this character. I don't know. In my opinion, I'm sure that Daniel Day-Lewis did a great job.
Oh, he did.
It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Exactly.
He does a great job.
I know.
I'm sure every actor that's
coming
out in the
Washington
movie,
you know, it's like
in
a Dorsey,
freaking year that he's coming out in the movie, is like, damn it, I just want to do a comedy that year.
Yeah.
Because Daniel Day-Lewis is up, so no one else is going to win. Uh-huh. Yippee-ki-yay. But I don't know. I think that Bradley Cooper should win.
Yeah.
I think he did a great job.
Oh,
I don't think that anyone's going to be like clamoring that he was robbed if Daniel Day-Lewis wins, of course.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, I don't know. Call me cynical, call me cold-hearted. The method thing, I get. It's impressive. But also, to me, it's more impressive to be able to turn it off on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
it's not that impressive. To me, it's a little scary. To me, it's kind of crossing that line that they used to tell you what happened if you played D&D too much.
Yeah.
That you're not turning off your character. So if your character dies, you might go kill yourself in real life. To me, that's what some of this method acting does. And when you hear stories about how he wouldn't even like acknowledge anyone on set that didn't refer to him as president.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like, okay, to me, it's getting to that point to where if Johnny was doing that in daily life, we'd probably lock him up. So I don't know how much we should be giving awards for this. He
would
become
Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper would play Daniel Day-Lewis in the next movie.
Exactly. It'd be this whole meta thing. And Kevin Williamson would write the script.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all I'm saying. Is that in real life, Daniel Day-Lewis, probably a nut job.
Yeah.
He very well could be.
Oh, quite possibly.
What happened with Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Nut job, just saying.
But
just saying.
Great actor, you know.
Yep. And he was method.
Yeah.
Paul, is it much farther? My legs are already starting to feel like two heavy slow things. Pretty soon I won't feel like I have legs anymore. They're already so tired.
Best actress.
Best actress.
All right. First up, we've got Jessica Chastain with Zero Dark Thirty.
Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook.
Or Emmanuelle Riva with Amour.
And then... the girl from Beasts of the World. Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to just be offensive.
And then Naomi Watts for The Impossible.
Yeah, this year we'll go in down in history for having the oldest and the youngest nominations, both ever.
What about...
No, she's older.
But as far as the youngest, though, what about...
Anna Paquin?
Yeah.
She was like 10. This girl was 6.
Oh.
So who do you think is going to win out of that?
Who do I think is going to win? Well, let's see. Not having seen Amour or Beasts of Southern Wild.
Or The Impossible.
Yeah, well, okay, I didn't see The Impossible, but I have seen Naomi Watts. I think Naomi Watts is a good actress. I'm sure that she did a good job in The Impossible.
She just cried a lot.
The title doesn't live up to, you know, the plot, but, you know...
but I mean, really, it probably just her performance probably boils down. I'm just guessing because I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
She is a good actress, but I would imagine just looking distressed and crying a lot.
That's what she does through the preview.
That's what she does in most of the movies.
Yeah.
That she's in. So anyway.
I would say it probably comes down to Jessica Chastain just because she seems to be like everybody's favorite these days. Not to take anything away from her, I thought she did a good job. However, oddly enough, I think she probably did a better job in Mama. Than she did.
I would agree.
Because
I thought her character was very one note in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
I don't understand what all the hype is.
I don't either.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't do bad, don't get me wrong, but she didn't really act.
Yeah, there was big arc. It was just
no big scenes.
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to see what clip they're going to use when... It's probably her getting stern with her boss.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole day...
Right in the note.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty much where she started to kind of be like, look, damn it!
But that, to me, that was the time where she actually was like, oh, she has a personality.
Exactly.
Because before that, she just seemed so autopilot and just kind of a wallflower that, I don't know, she didn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
I think that Emmanuel Riva is probably going to win just because a nomination that old almost always wins.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, it's well-deserved in that movie.
Yeah.
Looks like a movie that is painful to watch, painful to get through.
The preview.
Especially knowing you've got a director,
So just watching the preview, I'm just going, wow, you know, it's like I'll probably walk out of this going, yeah, that was really good. But at the same time, it's just the preview is not enticing me to walk in to begin with. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence, on the other hand, you know, it's like I enjoyed the hell out of her in that movie that just escaped my mind.
Winter's Bone.
Thank you, Winter's Bone.
She did a great, great job.
She was great in Winter's Bone.
Did she win for that?
I think she was at least nominated.
I know she was nominated.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
She should have won.
She should have, yes.
Yeah.
This movie, and again, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I would have to get to know her personally, because she does batshit crazy in Silver Linings Playbook so perfectly that you really have to question her off-screen personality.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that performance was acting or her just kind of being herself.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I mean, I liked it. I thought she did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think it's necessarily winning of an award. I mean, yeah, I'd definitely say that the girl from Beasts of Southern Wild is deserving. She does a great job, but, you know, I mean, I can't imagine trying to coax a performance that she gives out of a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
So I think, really, ultimately, how much of the performance did the director coax? Or is it just this girl?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think we really know at this point, so we don't know if it's acting or if he just kind of, it was the right place, right time, happened to find a girl that just was this girl that he happened to write, or, you know, I mean, who yeah. knows? So that's why I kind of think she probably isn't deserving it, so.
Okay.
Ultimately, not even seeing the movie, I would say it's probably the old chick.
Yeah. Most likely.
He's gonna win. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody, let's be serious now, just for a moment, and let's all listen up, okay?
Best director!
Here we go. Michael Haneke. For Amour.
Ben Zietlin for Beast of Southern Wild.
Ang Lee for Life of Pi.
Steven Spielbergian for Lincoln.
And David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook.
Who do you think is going to win? Think it's finally Spielberg's year?
Could be.
There's not a lot of buzz for Lincoln, though.
That's the crazy thing. It's like, yeah, it's like you're just going, okay, it's Steven Spielberg. So, yeah, he'll probably win. But it's just like, what's the last thing you heard about Lincoln? You know, it's like
yeah.
the little movie that just got thrown in there because, oh, well, yeah, it's Steven Spielberg. Yeah, I'd kind of like to see David O. Russell pick it up, but...
I kind of would, too.
You know, I'm betting...
Actually, I think that he is probably deserving as far as just yeah. what makes Silver Linings Playbook a successful movie
mm-hmm.
is purely his directing.
Oh, yeah.
And how he's able to get these actors to this point, but then stop them and then pull them back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really, everyone in that movie walks a fine line.
Oh, yeah.
And the story walks a fine line, and he even had a hand in adapting the screenplay.
Yeah,
so
he adapted the screenplay, he directed the movie, so yeah, it's...
Yeah, I would say that he should probably win. Either him or Ang Lee. I think yeah. that Ang Lee kind of...
Oh, yeah.
He deserves it for Life of Pi.
Yeah.
You know, especially it was supposedly the unfilmable, you know, story. But he filmed a movie that, watching it as a viewer, you're kind of like, well, how could this book be unfilmable?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as a viewer watching the movie, you're like, well, I don't understand how that could... I could see how it might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you hear about how...
Yeah, but I mean, visually, it was just incredible.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a well-directed, well-told story.
Oh, yeah.
So you've seen Lincoln. I haven't seen Lincoln. Is Lincoln on par with, like, Life of Pi and Silver Linings Playbook?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I think that anybody up for the acting, you know, is deservedly so. There are a lot of great performances in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought Spielberg...
But they're all great actors.
Exactly. It's like I thought Spielberg just kind of went through the motions.
Did his thing.
Yeah, it's like he kind of showed... It's like, okay, we're going to do a movie. It's going to be about Lincoln. Okay, what's the script say? All right, let's do this page. Okay. And go. I don't know. It wasn't really there as far as like a movie where you're just going, wow, Steven Spielberg. Man, that movie was awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So, he's definitely done better.
Quiet day... I certainly hope someone needs a forest ranger here sometime.
Hello, I'm Dr. Roger Fleming, and I seem to have lost my way.
I'm Ranger Brad, and that's what I'm here for. You can call me Ranger Brad. Most folks do.
Best supporting actor!
All right, so we've got Alan Arkin for Argo.
Robert Bobby D. for Silver Linings Playbook.
Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master.
Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln.
And Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Damn. Django. As usual, it seems like the supporting actor category is always, like, the toughest run. Because there's always, you know, best picture, best actor, best actress, director. There's always maybe one or two that you're like, okay, these guys are like the front runners. Everybody else is there for competition. Every one of these people, I'm just going, damn. And admittedly, I've not seen The Master, but... I'm familiar with Philip Seymour Hoffman. The guy acts his ass off. Yeah, you know, it's like I don't have to see the movie to know Philip Seymour Hoffman did a great job.
Okay, I'll be the dissenting opinion. Alan Arkin, give me a break. He played Alan Arkin. Whatever. He didn't act in the movie. Was he entertaining? Sure. Was he Alan Arkin? Sure. Is Alan Arkin entertaining? Yep. You know, I mean, I don't get it.
All right.
He played who he always plays. You know, he didn't play anyone different than he's ever played.
Okay.
So... That's that.
Yeah.
I'd love to give it to Bobby D.
Yeah.
Just because he's finally acting again.
Yeah.
This is the first time, and I can't remember when, that I saw him in a movie and I was like, he's not just paying for his house.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just wanting to go buy a car or go on vacation. He's not just cashing a paycheck.
Uh-huh.
he's actually doing this because he read the script and he wanted to play this character.
Yeah.
Because he's actually acting. Mm-hmm. And he's playing a character that isn't just Robert De Niro.
Exactly.
Playing himself. Yeah, he did a great job.
Oh, it was refreshing, yeah.
Was it that great of a difference? I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't see him getting it.
Probably not.
Unfortunately, I think that Alan Arkin might get it for Argo. People seem to be going ape crap over it.
Yeah.
I'm still going to stay strong to my opinion, though. It wasn't bad.
I can see
he's Alan Arkin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, me personally, Tommy Lee Jones, that wig, I'm done. I don't want to see it again. I'm done. That's it. So we're going to move on. Christoph Waltz, he made the movie for me.
Oh, yeah.
He made up for the fact that he was standing next to Jamie Foxx 90% of that movie. That's acting. To me, they should have gave that guy this. As soon as like the first person saw that movie, they should have, like, here you go. You won an award. Just fill in the blank. Whatever you need that to be, that's the award. You won. You made the I acted with Jamie Foxx and made it bearable to watch award. So that's my opinion, just on the fly, the quick rundown. What do you think?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I would say it's probably between, you know, Christoph Waltz, maybe Robert De Niro, just because, you know, he is Robert De Niro. You know, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Has that guy won anything? I know he's been nominated like a crap ton of times, but
I don't know if he's won for this.
Okay.
This role.
Yeah, I don't think he's won for this role, but I'm just thinking.
You know, I don't know. I it would surprise me if he hasn't, because he is. He's just so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Master. Really, he's about the only thing that makes me interested in seeing it is his performance.
Yeah.
So, definitely not Joaquin's.
Yeah.
He just looks irritating, personally, from the previous. But anyway, all right, any other thoughts about Best Supporting?
Nope, that's all I've got.
You know, I want to try that less is more kind of acting, where you just, when you're talking to someone, you close your eyes, and then you look at them when you're not talking to the person. I mean, you open your eyes when you're looking away, but then when you talk to the person, you go like that, and you open your eyes, and then you look back at the person, but you never open your eyes when you're talking to them.
Best Supporting Actress.
All right, so we have Amy Adams for The Master.
Sally Field, Lincoln.
Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables.
Helen Hunt, The Sessions.
And Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook.
All right, who do you think is going to win?
I'm thinking that the Academy really likes Sally Field. So it's probably...
did she do a great job in Lincoln?
She did. Okay. I would say it's probably between like her...
You don't maybe think Helen Anne Hathaway Hunt. Is going
to... You know, I would like to see Anne Hathaway get something, just because I think she's a really good actress and never gets nominated for shit that she's in where she's actually good. She was all right in Les Miserables, don't get me wrong. But personally, I would have liked to have seen her go up for The Dark Knight Rises as opposed to Les Miserables, but apparently Warner Brothers just wasn't campaigning that hard enough.
Helen Hunt, The Sessions, yeah, she didn't really act. She got naked, and I don't know if that deserves a award or not. I mean, I found her performance, I found her getting naked admirable, that at her age, to be that comfortable just getting nude on screen, she still looks good, especially for her age, you know. As far as, like, her acting, I didn't really see her playing anyone different than she ever plays.
Yeah.
She was still Helen Hunt, she still was kind of cold, you know, she was still the chick from Mad About You. She's the same chick she's always been.
Yeah.
I don't think that she really did anything different in The Sessions. I don't think she deserves a reward just because she got naked and came back from hiatus. Yeah. That, in my opinion, was well-deserved. So, yeah, that leaves us with Jackie Weaver.
Jackie Weaver and
Amy
Adams.
I didn't think there was anything all that special about. I'm surprised that she's on here.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed her performance. Was it, like, outstanding? You know.
So, I hope Anne Hathaway wins. I think Sally Field might, though.
Yeah.
Best Animated Feature. Who cares?
But remember, if he is ever abusive to you or mommy, what are the magic numbers?
911!
That's right! Now, I am very excited to introduce a surprise visitor to Jungle Land.
Best Cinematography.
You got Anna Karenina.
Django Unchained.
Life of Pi.
Lincoln.
And Skyfall.
Poor cinematographers aren't even worthy of having their names listed in most publications.
Shit.
Including the one we're currently referring to.
Yeah.
So sorry, cinematographers.
Yep.
Definitely think that top two is Life of Pi and Django Unchained, but Life of Pi, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
The movie was incredible. It was beautiful. What do you think?
Cinematography? definitely going with Life of Pi.
It's you, isn't it? It's really you. At last.
Makeup and hairstyling.
Yeah, Hitchcock.
The Hobbit, Les Mis.
And Les Mis Rob. Honestly, I'm going to say Hitchcock hands down.
Yeah, I'd say The Hobbit hands down.
Oh.
I think that the hairstyle and makeup is how he differentiated the dwarves. And I thought he did a good job of differentiating them specifically by their hairstyling and makeup. Yeah.
The Hobbit's a good contender.
Hitchcock, they did a good job. But, I didn't think it was flawless. At no time did I think that I was looking at Hitchcock. I always knew full well that it was Anthony Hopkins with a lot of latex on. Mm-hmm. And at times, it kind of took me out of the movie. As enjoyable as the movie was.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind seeing the movie get an award, so really, if it wins, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah.
But The Hobbit should.
You'll enjoy our city. It has some smog, it's a little noisy, but our house has all the major conveniences. Yeah, it's got a microwave and video, all the other appliances.
Yeah!
Best project. Say it again.
Take two.
Best product. Alex, I think you should say this one.
Take three. Best production design.
Anna Karenina.
The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Le Miserable.
Life of Pi.
And Lincoln La La La. Okay, the last one was just Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really shocked that Argo is not on here.
No shit.
That, by far, is the most impressive thing I found about that movie.
Hell yeah.
How he matched the footage, especially at the end over the credits when it was showing the footage.
Yeah.
Like, the comparison, I mean, I thought it was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was using stock footage at some points.
I did, too. And he wasn't.
No.
It was, he
recreated
it. He recreated it.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Amazing. Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, I think that The Hobbit should win it hands down, but...
Yeah,
I'm shocked that Argo deserved the recognition.
Oh, hell yeah. I would say either The Hobbit or Life of Pi. But yeah, it's like, you just have to wonder, it's like, where's Argo?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah, and really what I would say with Life of Pi is, where was the production design? From what I understand, it was a big giant tank, a boat, and then green screen.
Oh.
So.
Unlike The Hobbit, which was a bunch of trees and green screen?
Well, no, actually, there's a lot of locations in The Hobbit, dude. They actually have a tour of New Zealand based on the sites and locations filmed for the Lord of the Rings. It's not like it's just filmed on green screen.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, then, all right, we'll go with The Hobbit.
Yeah, it's not just CGI. It's not, okay. Not George Lucas. I'm talking Peter Jackson.
Oh.
Don't make that mistake again. This time, we let it go. All right, anything else about production design?
Where's Argo?
Yeah, no doubt. You're robbed.
What can I tell you? We're pleased as punch.
Best original screenplay.
Yeah. Michael Hankel for Amour.
Quentin T. for Django Unchained.
John Gattins for Flight.
Wes Anderson and Roma Coppola for Moonrise Kingdom.
And Mark Boll for Zero Dark Thirty.
I just have to say Quentin Tarantino... Or, I don't know, Wes Anderson, The Moonrise Kingdom, that was a pretty good original screenplay.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't really know how original any Quentin Tarantino screenplay is. So that's really kind of putting parentheses around originalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd probably throw Wes Anderson a bone on that one.
Probably, yeah. I would say Moonrise Kingdom.
You see, what we're actually trying to do here is we're trying to get a feel for how people spend their day at work. So, if you would you walk us through a typical day for you?
Yeah. Well, I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
Yeah. I just stare at my desk. But it looks like I'm working. I do that for probably another hour after lunch, too. I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Best adapted screenplay. Chris Terrio for Argo.
Lucy Albar and Ben Zelton for Beasts of Southern Wild.
David Maggi for Life of Pi.
Tony Kushner for Lincoln.
David O. Russell, Silver Linings Playbook. Have you read any of these books?
I have not.
I have not either, so we're probably the worst people to be giving an opinion in this category.
Probably so.
So I say David O. Russell.
Yeah.
As I liked.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Although, you know, Beast of Southern Wild, seeing that movie and now realizing it was based on a book,
yeah.
I would imagine that one would probably be pretty difficult someone reading that book was probably like, how are they going to turn this into a movie? Because even as a movie, you're kind of like, how'd they turn this into a movie? So you have an opinion?
David O. Russell or Chris Terrio.
So. There you go.
Wait. I think we've established that caca, caca, and tookie, tookie don't work.
Right. Sorry.
Best visual effects!
All right, you got The Avengers.
The Hobbit.
Life of Pi.
Prometheus.
And Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yep. Yeah, notice no Dark Knight.
Yeah. Where the fuck is The Dark Knight Rises? Why is Prometheus on this thing?
Dude, Prometheus had outstanding visual effects.
Oh.
Yes, it did.
Fuck that movie.
No, it had outstanding. I mean, look, I hated that movie. The visual effects are probably why I will see it again eventually. Oof. The storyline is what sucked. Yeah. And thinking about and trying to figure out the awesome visual effects that are stuck in your head, that's what pisses you off so much about the Prometheus. So, I don't know. I almost think it should win for best visual effects because that is the only good thing about it. And I think that's why people are so like prone to try to find good things about the story and like let things go and find other ways to justify and make sure it's great because they really love these visual effects because it is so pretty. Dadgum, pretty movie. But I would once again have to go with probably Life of Pi. At no time did you think that dude was on a soundstage.
True.
You always thought he was out in the ocean. And actually, I can't remember the last movie that captured that. Oh my gosh, how vast. And I'm just a peon out in this vast thing.
Yeah.
As well as that movie did.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would say, best visuals, probably, Life of Pi. Of course, I got to give credit to the Avengers. Got to secretly pull for that one, but I'll bet Life of Pi just...
The Hobbit. I thought The Hobbit had great visuals. Really, though, I'm kind of stunned about Snow White and the Huntsman.
I know. It's like, was that just kind of, well, we got to throw it a bone or something? I mean, what the fuck?
It was someone owed someone a favor.
Apparently so.
All right, well, there you go. That is our Oscars 2012 edition.
Yep.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to tune in and see who wins and, see how right or wrong we probably were. So.
Yeah. Strongly disagree. Post something on Facebook about it.
Yep.
Let us know, whatever. Contact us if you want.
Damn straight.
Right, that brings us to Pimp Our Product.
All right, so make sure that y'all are clicking on to the Facebook page.
Facebook.
Go over and like us.
Happening.
Yeah. Don't
just like us, comment.
Hell yeah.
I don't care about liking. Let's get some interaction going.
Damn,
I want to get to know some people. Like, if you listen to
cool,
it.
But it's like, just let us know what you thought. If you didn't like it, tell us. If you liked it, tell us.
Yeah, if you want to discuss something, throw it out there. Let's inner dialogue going outwardly.
Damn straight. of course, you got the justaphase.com network where you can catch the other podcasts that are part of the network, such as Mr. Larry Dwayne and Katie Gets Crabby. And there's also Talking Pictures, which Larry Dwayne and I do.
There's also a link on there called
Tell
Cool
Us About
Stuff.
The Widget.
On that, there is a widget that basically has all the different movies that we discussed in this podcast. And if you are interested in purchasing any of these movies, you can click on that widget and it'll take you straight to Amazon and you can buy it straight from there. And then a piece of that purchase price will actually come help out this podcast that you're listening to.
Yes.
Which would be super groovy cool.
Yes.
So, check it out. Let us know what you think. Take it easy.
All right.
Got weird ghost noises going on out there. So,
we'll see you next time.
Peace. In the Middle East. Do people say that anymore?
And I should warn you that one of us always tells the truth and one of us always lies. That's a rule too. He always lies.
I do not. I tell the truth.
Oh, what a lie.
Oh. He's a liar.
This has been a Phase Media Podcast. Find us online at justaphase.com. That's Phase with a mother effin' F.